This episode of Naked Men Talking, a podcast exploring naturism and the power of getting your clothes off. I'm Gareth Johnson. On today's episode, we're joined by Seattle Dad. Seattle Dad describes himself as a friendly bear next door who builds furniture and makes dirty movies. Seattle Dad, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Really well, thanks. Well, let's start with the dirty movies. What led you to start exploring a career in adult entertainment?
I had been posting a lot of free stuff for a long time on Twitter and X2. Just for fun, for maybe over 10 years before I ever heard of OnlyFans or Just for Fans. So it was just like little short clips that I was putting out just for fun, just because I'm an exhibitionist. But, when I started the fan sites, I started making longer videos, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Yeah, and that's how it started. I really had never planned on monetizing it.
No, but was it an obvious move because the fan subscription channels sort of changed the game in terms of the way that you could distribute that content? Was it an obvious move to think, well, I can do more of this?
Well, I think so. I didn't really know anything about them, but a friend of mine had just started his own, and I had never heard of it before. So I just thought it'd be like a fun little side project. I had no idea it could turn into an actual career. But I started posting years ago because I kept seeing little clips of myself and pictures of myself all over the internet that I hadn't posted.
What, clips that you'd filmed with other people?
With other people.
Found their way onto the internet.
I had sent to other people, yeah. But somehow they just found their way to the internet. You know how it is. And, that was, at first it was a little weird, but I kind of got turned on by it. So I thought, well, I'll just control the narrative and do it myself.
But you talk about in your bio, you reference dirty movies. And I was wondering, it's obviously slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it does sort of, denote some sort of level of shame with the creation of that style of content. Is that something you've had to grapple with?
Oh, not really, no. I mean, I just think it's a funny little tongue-in-cheek thing to say. I mean, I live in America, so it's pretty puritanical over here, even to this day. Maybe worse.
But, getting worse, exactly, yeah.
It's getting worse. But I've never really struggled with the shame of any of that. I really, since the first time I ever got my hands on a video camera as a youngster, I was recording myself.
People need to
not really showing it to anybody, like watching it back for myself and then erasing the tape. But I'm like fascinated with porn.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, talk a little bit about your relationship with your body growing up then. You talk about sort of filming yourself and enjoying that side of things. Have you always been confident and comfortable in getting your clothes off in front of other people?
Not confident in front of other people, but I always liked my body, but when you're younger and you're kind of awkward, it's not that exciting to take your clothes off in front of other people. But as I got into college, I started getting hairier like in junior high, high school. And then when I got into college, I'm always kind of been pretty happy with my body. And but showing it off more and more has made me even more comfortable with it. Like I'm actually prefer when I go to a pool party, I'd rather be naked than wear clothes.
Yeah, no, fair.
I just feel more comfortable that way.
You talk about how you got hairy relatively young, kind of, and quite a number of guys sort of find that difficult because it sort of marks them as different to their peers.
What was your relationship like with
that sort of process?
No, I couldn't wait.
Bring
it
on.
It.
Let's get the hair.
Yeah, and there were a couple of friends of mine or guys in my class that really liked it. There was a guy in my art class and in school that would just touch my arm hair because he thought it was so nice, I guess. I don't know. We never really hooked up, but I liked the way it felt when he like caressed my arm. But no, I never have understood like why people don't like their body hair. Like I love it and I love it on other people. So yeah, no, I've never been conscious about that, self-conscious. Yeah.
So the exhibitionism kicked in fairly early then as well, because you talk about filming yourself and enjoying filming yourself, and you talk about enjoying seeing yourself appear online as those clips started to go. What do you think sort of is driving that? What, when did you sort of join all those dots together?
Oh, with the feeling confident, wanting to show off and that kind of
exactly.
thing.
Just getting turned on by that sort of exhibition process.
Well, I started on Tumblr and XTube back in, like, I don't know, 2006, 2008. And I know immediately as soon as I started posting little clips, the comments were so complimentary, and I just got a really great response. So I was like, well, maybe I'm onto something. And the more people reacted to it positively, the more I wanted to do it. So yeah, no, it just turns me on to know.
Yeah, it's more than just a validation. It's the, it almost fuels you to go further, further, deeper, sort of. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and yes. when fans send me pictures of themselves, like watching my movies or that kind of thing, and I'm on like someone's 80-inch screen in their living room, like that's
hot. Yeah.
Yeah, it turns me on. Yeah. So when I'm making movies, I think about that. Like I think about like, well, this. Like I make them for me and what I find attractive, but I also, when I'm filming, because I do a lot of the filming myself, I want it to look good if it's on a giant TV screen in someone's living room.
You're thinking cinematic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, to a certain extent, yes.
But you must get a lot of requests from fans and things in terms of what they want to see. Does that help sort of shape the content you're creating?
Yeah. I mean, I try to break it up and keep it interesting with a lot of different kinds of content and different kinds of guys. I'm into a lot of things, so I don't have just one niche that I, you know, keep going to. So, yeah, but like the comments and people telling me what they like, you know, always kind of inspires me. I have a little journal that I write everything down. And then when I, you know, I'm feeling horny and I'm like, well, I should make a video on my own. And I can like look at that and get some ideas, or, you know, see a scenario that I know a person would, you know, a guy that I film with would fit in. And then I can text them and say, come on over, we're going to do this.
This
thing
is the same
we're doing. Yeah. Or robes or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah.
Has the process of filming yourself, and because you're obviously, you're seeing yourself from every angle, and you're doing your filming, you're doing your editing kind of thing, so you're looking at your body in a pretty specific way. Has that changed your relationship with your body in any way? Has changed your body image in some sense?
No, I mean, I got really used to seeing myself really quickly, because when you're filming with a couple different cameras, you do see every angle and every roll and every wrinkle. But
the good bits and
the thing
bad
that shocked
bits,
me the most was like, I did not know that I had thinner hair on top, because it's fine in the front. I had no idea that it was thinning until I started filming all the time.
Oh, but also when you put a light on it, it doesn't look
great. The top of my head, I was like, oh, geez, maybe I need some minoxidil. But other than that, like, I don't know. I really like watching it back. I don't really look at myself when I'm doing it. I'm kind of like detached when I'm editing and looking to see like what looks good, what you know, what's the best angle, how to crop it the right way.
So you can be hypercritical in a sort of out of body experience, almost very objective kind of way. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at a video of Seattle Dad, not myself.
Sure. Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
But is that helpful to have that distinction between your on-screen persona?
I think so. I think you need to have your private life and your public life. You know, they blur off often, because a lot of the people that I film with and a lot of the scenarios I'm in, like, that's just like my real life, and they're people in my life, like friends of mine. So, it's not as separated as like a business would be, or like a studio would be, where you maybe not even know the people that you're filming with. But like 90% of the people I film with, I'm friends with. And so sometimes we're just hanging out and we decide to make a movie, or we're playing video games and we decide to make a movie. You know, but I do think, like, I do try to keep some things private.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a little bit of something for yourself. Yeah, I can't give it all away as much as I want to.
Now, also, just you talked about how you make a range of content, you're not sort of in a niche, but sort of the clues in your name in terms of the dad element of it all. I was wondering, is that daddy identity something that sits obviously comfortably with you? When did you sort of start to embrace that?
Well, yeah, it does now, for sure.
When did it kick in? When did people start calling you daddy?
I think when I was about 35, I had started to thicken up a little bit. I was pretty thin most of my life. And then in my early 30s, mid-30s, I started to thicken up and maybe get a little gray in my beard. And yeah, the first time someone called me daddy at a bar, I didn't really know
how to process
make
that.
You know, back then, daddies weren't all the rage back then. back in like 2005 or 2000 or whatever it was. So yeah, no, it took me, I don't know, it took me a couple months to think about it. And I was like, well, I'm getting older and I do like that role in relationships and in bed. And I enjoy teaching people things and kind of guiding them. So I've definitely embraced it now.
But is that an example where your personal life is blending into your on-screen persona?
Yeah, well, like I said, a lot of everything just blends together.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's how I comport myself in like real life as well.
Yeah, no, fair. You talked a little bit about how you are filming with friends and, you know, you're constantly sort of, you know, looking at opportunities to film, but having to put so much energy into that sort of filming side of things, of scheduling collaborations and that kind of thing, does that make it harder or a bit more confusing when it comes to building those real world connections, those real world relationships? How do you sort of navigate that when you're blending the two things so much?
I don't think the filming or the scheduling affects anything for me. I've had pretty sexual relationships with most of my friends most of my life, so that kind of is just my life. But I think the thing that makes it more difficult is all the paperwork,
sure,
and all the admin that isn't fun or
takes
sexy.
The sexiness
that
out of it all
takes a toll. Because yeah, like after you're done having a great time with someone, you're like, oh, can you sign all these forms? And then I have to upload documents and you know, go back and forth with drop boxes. Like that part isn't that much fun.
Yeah.
But the end result is a good mix of business and pleasure, I guess. But it doesn't really affect my friendships. Yeah, it doesn't. The friendships I have, I just like fun. We just have fun together. So I don't really think that my main friendships that I film with are affected by it, or I can't really tell.
No, but it must make it easier if your friends are also creating content, so they're already
that's true.
Mindset.
Yeah. Well, I really don't like filming with people who aren't already making content. I used to, obviously, because nobody was, and I think I got a lot of people into this. I certainly have given a lot of boys and dads the talk, like the TED talk on how to do this the right way. I don't know. No, other than that, I think it's been pretty great.
Can we talk about your furniture making?
Yeah.
What sort of furniture do you make?
I made this.
No way.
Bookcase back here. Yeah, it's just a cabinet made to look like a card catalog. But I make a lot of things out of reclaimed wood, lots of beds and TV consoles and that kind of thing. I've been doing that for about 25 years now, or maybe more. God, 28, I think. Long time.
Is the furniture the side hustle, or is the adult entertainment the side hustle?
Well, the furniture was my main job for about 22 years. And I thought that the adult entertainment would be fun drinking money, but turns out that it's substantially more than that. So the furniture has taken a little bit of a backseat to making videos and traveling. Although when I'm in my shop, and I still have my shop and I still build things from time to time, when I'm there, I'm very happy and relaxed. I love that place. And now it's more of a hobby for now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it must be quite meditative to be able to just get tactile with your hands and focus on what's in front of you.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to just put my phone away and just build something and listen to music and not really have to think about anything else. When you work on your phone or your computer and you're editing porn and uploading porn, it's very distracting, especially when you're on like social media, like Twitter or X or whatever, and you're just trying to like go through what you got to do, but there's like hot guys you want to look at, there's disasters in the world you want to read about. It's so distracting. And to just be able to like concentrate on one thing and build something physical that is, that I can see in the real world, I really enjoy that. So yeah, I will keep that shop as long as I possibly can.
Do you enjoy the entrepreneurial side of the adult entertainment business? Because, as you talked about, there's a lot of work involved in not only just the filming and the editing, but the marketing and the building the brand and engaging with the audience. Is that something that comes naturally to you, or have you learned that over time?
I think so. Well, I've owned my own business like since I was 23, and you have to be like business-minded and able to schedule and keep a lot of dates and numbers in your head. And so when I started traveling and meeting other creators, it was no different than I think than just like getting on the phone and making sales calls to different furniture stores that I wanted to sell to. It was a lot easier, actually.
Pushing
But
it
no, I think I've just kind of built that way. I'm very organized and able to plan, because you really have to be able to plan. My first work trip for this, I went to the UK in 2018, and I think in 2 weeks I had scheduled 12 shoots with 12 different people, and every single one was one day after another, and it was really fun. Everybody showed up when they were supposed to, and but that takes a level of planning and communication.
But having that life experience before you sort of, came into the world of adult entertainment, do you think that gave you a really solid grounding in terms of
Oh yeah,
bringing all
absolutely.
those skills with you?
Yeah, I do think that. I do think that. I think a lot of people think that they can just make a video and throw it up online and people are gonna watch it, but it's so much more than that. You have to market, you have to be on social media, you have to continue these relationships with the people you've worked with so you can work with them again. And I've made a lot of friends throughout the years doing this. People that come and stay, with me when they're in Seattle, or I go stay with them. And we have this one thing in common, and we find that we often have other things. And so, you just become friends that way. But having that basis in business and admit, like what I, because I ran everything in my company as well. So, wearing a lot of hats. You have to wear a lot of hats when you're naked
No clothes, just
online.
a lot of hats.
Yeah, no clothes, just a lot of hats. Marketing director, travel agent, it's all HR. You have to do it all.
The HR department. Do you get a lot of complaints to the HR department?
No, actually, I do not. Which is good, I think.
I guess my final question, you talked about how you could give a TED talk on, for new guys coming into the industry, but I was, wondering what sort of advice or guidance you'd give someone if they were interested in exploring a career in the world of adult entertainment.
Well, I always tell people first that they need to. Well, it's funny because I have a lot of older guys come to me now because they see that I'm doing well. And they say they want to start doing this, and I ask them like, well, how many followers do you have on Instagram or Twitter? And they're like, oh, I hate social media, I don't have any.
We've got a problem.
So I'm like, well, it is called Just for Fans and Only Fans. Like, you have to have some people. So I think if you want to do this, get on social media and get a little bit of a following. It doesn't have to be big, 5,000 people. It takes a minute. But once you do that and they're supportive of you, then you have a good grounding for opening a site. The other thing is just like consistency. Like, you have to be consistent if you want people to pay a monthly fee. And so I put out probably 6 to 8 videos a month. I try to do 2 a week, and then I also do like throwback because I've been doing this for so long. that I have like 8 years of movies backed up that I know the people who just subscribed will never scroll all the way back to see.
That's the thing. It must be such good value for someone subscribing to you because of the huge library of content you've got there. They're paying the same price.
I have like 600 videos.
Yeah.
And for $10 a month, that's, I don't even know what that is, 0.06 cents a video.
It's good, like, value is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, for $10, you can jerk off every single night.
For the rest of your life. Yeah.
Three different videos. For the rest of your life, yes. Yeah, and I mean, and then subscription like price like helps me travel, helps me like fly people in so that we can make videos together. But yeah, I think that just like I've subscribed to so many people who put up little 30-second clips twice a month, and I'm like, what is you want people to pay for that? Like, you have to respect the people who are giving you their hard-earned money. Like, take it seriously, even if you don't have a lot of followers now. You will build up if you treat them right and take care of them. So that's my biggest advice. It's like just being serious about it and consistent. Because I think people need to hear that. It annoys me to no end when I pay $10 to see one or two clips of someone in the dark.
Yeah. I just hate that. Where's the professionalism?
Come on.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. You can find me on Twitter at GTV London. Today's guest has been Seattle Dad. You can find him on Twitter at Seattle_Dad. Stay naked, stay sexy, and we'll see you next time. Bye.